I'll say it again. Somebody said, say it again. Your soul got saved, but your mouth didn't. See, when we talk about this transformation, we're talking about, you know, all of you. And that Paul said that you yield over the members of your body to Christ, your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your tongue.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of the Apostle Paul, Before and After. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the Apostle Paul, Before and After.
Today, we are looking at a new birth and a new life. And as we look at this subject today, the perfect example to me of a new birth and a new life is the Apostle Paul. And I want to speak to you on this subject today, Paul before and after. The Apostle Paul before and after. As we think about human nature, rooted deep within the recesses of each heart is a dark side. And that dark side is brought out in many ways. Truly, we need a new birth. Truly, we need a new life. Truly, we need a transformation of the soul. I was watching the news yesterday morning, and they were talking about Black Friday and how that just brought the worst out in some people. There was an individual who wanted to get a particular video game, and there were several people in front of them, and not sure if they were going to be able to get the video game, they pepper sprayed the people in front of them. See, this is it brings out the dark side in people. In several places, fist fights broke out because people was trying to get the last toy or the last video game or the last DVD. We not only see that, but I saw where in one place there was even gunshots trying to intimidate people so that they wouldn't come around the store, so that these individuals who shot off the guns would have first right to a lot of the merchandise that they were trying to attain. And then let us not forget, a couple of years ago, I believe it was a Walmart employee who was trampled to death on Black Friday when they opened the door and let the people in. So we see that occasions such as this bring out the dark side in people. Yeah, we need a new birth and a new life. We need to get rid of that old paradigm. We need to have a new paradigm. We need to shift from that way of darkness to the way of light. You know, I heard the story even about Christians sometimes that they don't always represent the transformed life. They don't always represent the new life. There was a little boy who was being dedicated to the Lord. And after the dedication service, he had a bigger brother that was there, probably around 4 or 5 years old, and the little boy was in the car, and he began to cry all the way home. And finally, the dad asked him why he was crying. And he said, well, when our baby brother was dedicated, the minister promised that you would raise our baby brother in a Christian home. And the dad said, well, what's wrong with that? He said, well, I want to stay with you and Mom. So if you've had your baby dedicated here, I hope that you... No, I'm not going to go down that road now. I'm not going to go down that road. But, you know, we have this way of holding on to the old habits of life. And Jesus came to shake us loose of those. He came to set us free. And he came to give us a new life. Let's look at the Apostle Paul before. Let's look at his life before. Let's look at his life before he encountered Jesus. Let's look at his life before he came in contact with the living Lord. As we look at the Apostle Paul's life, he was represented in four different ways. First of all, we see that he was respected. The Apostle Paul was respected. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. He was respected. After they stoned Stephen, or before they stoned Stephen, the scripture says that they, in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul was respected. He was so respected that when they stoned the man of God, that people came and laid down their garments at his feet. That's how much they respected him. But see, you can be respected, but lost. You can be respected by your colleagues, you can be respected by your family, you can be respected by your peers, and you can be as lost as Mother Goose's goose. I often think of how sweet grandmas are. And I think I've said this before, and I'm not trying to ruin your image of grandma, but you know, grandma can be the sweetest person in the world. And you might have the utmost admiration and respect for your grandmother. But if your grandmother don't know Jesus, that when she dies and leaves this earth, she's going to be separated from God. And so she can be respected, like the Apostle Paul. He had all the respect in the world. He had people respect him so much that they came and they laid their garment at his feet. That's how much they respected him. And you can have a name, a good name, and I know that Proverbs talks about a good name and the value of a good name, and that's all important. But if you have a good name and you don't know Jesus, what does it mean? You see, Paul was respected, but he was lost. Paul was not only respected, but Paul was and you know, this is really a strange paradox here, because how can a man be respected and religious and both a rabble-rouser and a railer? But yet and still, we see that this made up the life of the Apostle Paul, that he was a rabble-rouser. What is a rabble-rouser? This is an individual who stirs up people to hatred or violence against somebody else. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He was a rabble-rouser. Now, excuse my language this morning, but some of y'all raised a lot of heck before you came to Jesus Christ. Some of you were rabble-rousers. Let's just be honest. And as the old saying goes, when I point one finger at y'all, I'm pointing three back at me. So does that mean I'm three times the rabble-rouser that you were? I don't think so. However, I tell people, you know, some of y'all drink more liquor than there's water in the Allegheny River. You know that? You know how your life used to be. And you raised a lot of heck. You raised a lot of cane. You were a rabble-rouser. And not only were you a rabble-rouser, you like to stir things up. You like to agitate and pick with people. And that's the way the Apostle Paul was. Paul was a rabble-rouser. And he was also a railer. What is a railer? He used abusive language. He went in and was harsh, used harsh language on people. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He railed on folks. Now, I thank God for this transformation, this new life, and this new birth. Because before I came to know the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, my language wasn't always edifying to the Lord. But I can say that the minute I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, that one of the things that God straightened up on me, one of the transformations that took place in my life, was the language that I used. And so here was Paul, and some of y'all out there, and I'm not going to identify any folk, but I'm just trying to keep it real. I'm trying to keep it real that your soul got saved, but your mouth didn't. I'll say it again. Somebody said, say it again. Your soul got saved, but your mouth didn't. See, when we talk about this transformation, we're talking about, you know, all of you. And that Paul said that you yield over the members of your body to Christ. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your tongue. And so we need to realize that this transformation that I'm going to explain here in a minute, you know, goes not only to the soul, but is shown out in the very lifestyle of the individual. But here it probably is the most dangerous thing that could have happened in the life of the Apostle Paul, is that he was religious. Paul was religious. And there are a whole lot of folk that are religious. They come to church every Sunday, and they sit there. My heart was stirred years ago when we were across the street that one of our older saints, probably up in their 80s, that we had a group come to town and hit the gospel hard. And well into the 80s, this person came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Had been in Bethany most of their life and sat here under great teaching. Pastor Tane, Pastor Farmer, and Pastor Glaze. And sat here for year after year after year and didn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Apostle Paul was religious, but he was lost. Look at Galatians, if you will. Galatians chapter 1. And this is, to me, this is scary how that people can sit in the church and hear about this great salvation. As the choir sang this morning, there is none like you in all the earth. And people sit there and sing that song and don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says, "For you have heard of my manner of life in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above all my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my father." Paul said he was more religious than the average Jewish person. But perhaps Paul's greatest testimony to his religiosity before he got saved is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. The apostle says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath reason for which he might ought to trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." Now you can't get any more religious than that. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless." He said, "I lived out the law." He said, I took the law of God and I lived it out in such a way that I was perfect, that I kept it perfectly in every point. But here he was, lost and undone, without God and his son. Knew the word, knew the Old Testament, knew the law. But what was missing in his life? He didn't have this new birth. He didn't have this new life. And one day, he was confronted. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 9, he was confronted. And as we think about this new life, let me just stop for a second and do some teaching. You know, I teach at the seminary over on Penn Avenue. And so we get into a lot of theology and a lot of doctrine. And one of the doctrines that we have in theology, if you put that next slide up there, and I'm just going to teach this for a second, it's called the doctrine of regeneration. All right, so if I can go deep for 1 second, if I can put on my theologian hat and just teach for a second, and y'all put on y'all Bible student hats and receive this, okay? The doctrine of regeneration. And that's what this message is all about today. is about regeneration. And what is regeneration? Regeneration is impartation of the divine nature to the soul. Peter said that we have all been made to be partakers of the divine nature. Does that mean that you're God? No, absolutely not. But it means that you have a piece of God in you. That God dwells in you. That when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have the ability to live this new life. Whereas before, you couldn't live this life. Paul tried to live it, but he couldn't live it in such a way that pleased God. But when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, his nature was affected. And he had received a divine nature. There is the transformation of the old life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when you have had your soul touched, then what happens? That the old things of the former life you put away, because there's been a transformation in the soul. There's been a new birth, and with that new birth comes a new life. And then there is an implementation of the new life. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new man, which is after godliness in Christ Jesus. That there is a transformation in the implementation of the new life. And then Paul lets us know in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 that you have been transported from spiritual death to spiritual life. That God has awakened your soul. And now you have this new life. You have this new ability within you to please and to serve God. And see, I put those verses up there for a reason, because I want you to see that this thing is real. It's not something that's out there. It's not something that only Pastor Glaze and the deacons and the deaconesses can attain. But this is something that is attainable by every child of God, that you have this new life that's within you. You have this transformed soul, and that with this transformed soul comes a transformed life. The old saints used to sing, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. What were they saying? They were saying that my hands didn't do the same things that they used to do. My feet didn't go the same places they used to go. And why was that? Because my heart has been touched. There has been a transformation in my soul. How about you today? Has your soul been transformed? That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so that we can have let me tell you something. For years, I only Christmas decorations I put up was inside of my house. So I told my wife last night to take me. I said, I want to get a manger scene, and I want to put it in the front yard. And I'm going to get this man. I want to find the biggest manger scene that I can, and I'm going to put a spotlight on it, and I want everybody to see. We went to about 3 stores. You know what? They had snowmen, Santa Claus, reindeers, jingle bells. They had everything, but guess what? A manger scene. This is unbelievable. That the main reason that we celebrate this time of year has been overshadowed and crowded out by the things of this world. And so you can't even go find a manger scene if you want one today. I guess I told my wife, I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to get next summer, look at an estate sale. Maybe somebody's getting rid of their estate and they got a manger scene they want to get rid of. This thing is serious. This thing is really serious. Can you believe that? And yet and still, Jesus came so that he can transform lives. Jesus didn't come so that we can have reindeers and Santa Claus and snowmen and elves. That's not why he came. He came to transform your life. And so we see here, what is regeneration? Regeneration is the impartation of the divine nature to your soul. Regeneration is the transformation of the old life and the implementation of a new life and the transformation of spiritual death to spiritual life. And what is the means of regeneration? It's the Holy Spirit. Titus tells us in 3:5 that you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the minute you accepted Christ, the minute you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. You don't have to. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but that's all right. I've been in enough trouble. You don't have to go somewhere and tarry. The Bible says that when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. And that when you receive the Holy Spirit, that the generating power of the Holy Spirit comes within you and that your life has been transformed. You see, there is the caterpillar, right, that crawls along the ground. And the caterpillar has fuzzy hair that's all over his body and a slimy bottom. And the caterpillar is ugly, and the caterpillar is oftentimes something hideous. But oh, just give the caterpillar a little bit of time, and what happens? It goes into this metamorphosis. It takes place within the nature of the caterpillar. And that caterpillar, while it's down there on the ground, it could try to fly, but it's just going to stay down there. It could try to lift off the ground, but it's just going to stay down there. Why is that? Because it's not in the nature of the caterpillar to fly. It's not in the nature. But somewhere a Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk metamorphosis takes place, right? Within the caterpillar, it takes place, and all of a sudden, this caterpillar begins to sprout wings, and its color begins to change, and it turns into something beautiful, and it starts to fly. And that's what regeneration is for the child of God. It's where you shed all that old stuff, and it's where you had this transformation in your life, and now you become this beautiful butterfly that can fly around, reflecting the glory of God. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that if you are a child of God, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Amen. Got a testimony or two out there this morning. And why is that? Let's go back to what the theologians call the doctrine of regeneration. That's why that takes place, because you have been regenerated. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, we see a couple things about him and this new birth and new life. First of all, we see the Apostle Paul persecuting. We see the Apostle Paul persecuting. Now notice, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the sermon. Notice here what I call him. I call him Saul, because that was his name. Now later on, he gets the name Paul, and I'm going to tell you why he gets this new name a little bit later on. In verses 1 and 2 of Acts chapter 9, we see Saul persecuting. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Apostle Paul, Before and After. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Apostle Paul, Before and After, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Apostle Paul, Before and After. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Apostle Paul, Before and After. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.